Off-year elections tend to be rather quiet in our states, with most of the major votes for major offices and issues happening in the even-numbered years. But Douglas County has an election coming up November 7th, and it's about a fundamental change in county government, where there is now a three-person board of paid county commissioners. Measure 10-159 would change that to a five-person board of unpaid commissioners elected from districts, not from the whole county. This is a home rule charter vote for Douglas County. Let's get into more specifics about what home rule means. Two guests join us. Stacey McLaughlin is a supporter of Measure 10-159, the home rule charter. Hi, Stacey. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Good to have you. We also have with us, to help us understand some of the legal thickets here, David Schumann, who's a professor of practice at the University of Oregon School of Law and a former justice of the Oregon Court of Appeals, who has some experience with home rule cases. Judge Schumann, thank you for joining us.
Happy to be here.
Stacey, let's start with you. Douglas County has had its current system for a long time. What is the rationale for changing it?
Well, I think the rationale behind the home rule charter is it is a grassroots level movement, and it is assumed under home rule that local government can be more responsive to the community and to the people. I think the more complex that our government has become in the last few years has been a major impetus behind this. Local self-government, as you know, is the cornerstone of a democratic government. And issues solved at the level closest to the people tend to be more community-oriented and have a much better opportunity to be responsive to a community than you might have under general law, which is limited by the specific authority that's granted by Oregon statutes. Douglas County has been a very prosperous county in years past. It, like many other rural communities in Oregon, is looking at its future and how do we start to revive our economy. And I think that, as I understand it from the chief petitioners, was one of the major motivators as to why they wanted to start looking at a home rule charter. As you said, Jeff, the current situation is three commissioners elected at large with full salaries, six-figure salaries with benefit package. And what is proposed are five commissioners elected from the various regions in Douglas County that would make up five different districts.
So I was going to say, once you slip the bonds of the idea of this three-person board of highly paid commissioners, or at least well-paid commissioners, elected at large, I mean, you have lots of choices, five people, seven people, districts, or districts and at large in combination. How did you arrive at the configuration you got?
Well, the constraints are based actually on state law as to how a district is formed. So under state law, you have to create a district that is as equal as possible in the number of registered voters. And I think as these districts were designed, they were designed to reflect the various regions. There's five different districts. There's a District 1 that's the northern part of the county. And Douglas County, by the way, is a very significant area as far as its number of acreage and the communities that it has.
Oh, physically, it's huge. It extends from the Cascades all the way to the ocean.
It's a really dynamic and unique geographic region, as you say. It's also one of the only areas in the United States that is its own and complete watershed. So the various districts, even though you have voters in large urban centers, such as our county seat, Roseburg, the precincts that are a part of these districts were very key in looking at the outlying rural areas to make sure that the farther out you went, the voters in those precincts would outnumber, per se, the precincts that were closer in to the major urban centers to allow that rural voice to start to emerge in its government within Douglas County. So it was a very difficult endeavor because of the constraints of the law. However, I believe that the folks who designed these districts did an excellent job of making sure that the outlying areas are well covered with respect to the number of registered voters. And I can give you an example that if I am in District 2, for example, the city of Sutherland is a part of that district, and it has 5,000 voters. However, the outlying districts outnumber the city of Sutherland's registered voters so that it would enable those voters to also participate as equally as folks living in a municipality.
We're talking about home rule for Douglas County. There's a ballot measure coming up in November, November 7th to be exact, Measure 10-159, that would change from the three-person paid Board of Commissioners to a five-person lightly paid, let's put it that way, Board of Commissioners elected from districts instead of at large as they currently are now. You're hearing from Stacey McLaughlin, who's a supporter of the home rule measure. We're also talking to David Schumann, who's a former Oregon Court of Appeals Justice and a professor of practice at the University of Oregon School of Law. Questions, comments about Douglas County's endeavor and what it's undertaking here or thinking about undertaking anyway? We're welcome to talk to you at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. David Schumann, I've often wondered why it is called home rule. I mean, if the rule is not here at home in the county, where is it?
Well, under state law, if there isn't a home rule charter, then the county's authority to pass ordinances and govern itself and form county government is governed by state law. When the Oregon Constitution was written, neither cities nor counties had that kind of self-governing authority. Everything they did had to go through the legislative assembly. In the first years of the 20th century, cities achieved home rule, the power to create their own charters, and those charters in turn gave them the power to pass ordinances. Counties didn't get around to achieving home rule by constitutional amendment until 1958. And basically what that empowers counties to do is to create a charter with its own form of government. How officers are chosen, how many of them there might be, that sort of thing. Mostly, the issues involving home rule haven't really revolved around whether or not a county should be a home rule county. They've revolved around conflicts between state law and county ordinances. A home rule county can pass ordinances on matters of county concern. If those ordinances conflict with a general state law, then you have disputes about who wins. And generally, the answer is the state wins. But the bottom line about county home rule is that it allows counties to form their own type of government.
And there's something like nine Oregon counties that have home rule now. Is that correct? Mostly in Western Oregon?
I believe 11, but I'm not sure.
All right, but
no, it's actually nine counties.
Nine, okay.
All right,
Douglas County would be the 10th.
Douglas County would be the 10th. Okay, so David Schumann, I noticed that some Oregon counties in the east in particular are still led by the county court with a judge and two commissioners. Are those the strictly non-home rule counties?
They're not really courts. Uh-huh. They're not judges in the sense of people who adjudicate, you know, criminal prosecutions or anything like that. I don't know if those are home rule counties or not.
All right. I don't know. Stacey McLaughlin, I want to bring you back in here because you mentioned that Douglas County government has gotten complex, and this is a move to ease that complexity somewhat. How has it gotten more complex, would you say?
Oh, my gosh. Just by the fact that our citizen activism has really come full term in the last few years. People are starting to be very involved and care about what's going on in their communities. The number of issues that have faced this Board of Commissioners in Douglas County has been phenomenal. We've had we've closed our libraries in the last few years. There's been a move to start utilizing the county's public parks as a revenue source by logging them. We have a lot of concerns around the loss of our mental health and public health services and the outsourcing of that. Now, I'm not going to suggest that any one single issue has precipitated the movement behind the home rule consideration so much as it is that we need to have some sort of system that allows us as a community to more fully participate in how we're going to start looking at those major issues. And one of those ways is that, as it is now, if as long as you're electable, you can walk in the door to the county courthouse here and be in charge of a multi-million dollar budget that reflects the needs of this community. Now, that does not mean that you have the qualifications, the skills, or the experience in order to manage that and or motivate and inspire that county staff. So one of the major proponent aspects of this charter is to create a county manager position. Now, a county manager is actually outlined very thoroughly within the Home Rule Charter that's being proposed and suggests what kind of skills and expertise that our community is looking for. This is not to say that we do not have hardworking commissioners now or in the past. What it is to say that this is not something we should expect of a policymaker.
Let me take up this issue then right now, because if the county commissioners now are essentially running as the administrators of the county as well as the elected people, and then you're talking about a step of removal, so you'd have a professional manager, and so policy set still by the Board of Commissioners, but not a direct day-to-day running of things. How do you answer to the charge that I'm sure some people would bring up, that you've now put a level of a layer between the people and the person running the county day-to-day?
Well, actually, I don't agree with that assessment. And the reason I say that is I've held one of those positions in my career as a city manager, and I can tell you that there is not one of those professionals that I know that does not feel that they are fully accountable to the people that they serve, as well as to the elected officials that they are working for and also serving. So I don't see it as being another level of bureaucracy. What I see it is someone that's coming in that will have the expertise to run the local organization in a way that somebody who walks in the door as a, for example, elementary school photographer who's never had any experience whatsoever in working with a municipal budget or a fund balance account or the personnel rules that might be in place with respect to the positions held in the community. Douglas County is a... It's the organization itself has really undergone some significant changes in recent years as a result of the resource drop in revenue. So having somebody in charge that actually knows how that's supposed to work, I think, is really going to be a positive for our community.
We're talking about the home rule vote in Douglas County here on the Jefferson Exchange with Stacey McLaughlin, who's a home rule supporter. She wants a yes vote on Measure 10-159. David Schumann from the University of Oregon School of Law is with us as well to help explain some of the legal points here. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Good move for a county, good move for your county, even if you're not in Douglas County. Would you like to see a difference in structure? 800-838-3760 to join the conversation by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. Stacey, one of the attractions of the county commissioner position now is the salary, as you pointed out, with salary and benefits together, easily a six-figure package. Are there concerns about attracting candidates to run for the unpaid positions?
I don't think so. I mean, the number of volunteers that we have right now in our community is absolutely rewarding. With the closure of our libraries, a lot of people have stepped up to try to keep them open within their own communities. Sustaining that effort, I think, is going to be hard. Anybody that's worked with a volunteer population recognizes the difficulties of keeping people engaged and keeping them trained. So I don't think that's going to be the case. There's already been some phenomenal interest in those positions. We have 12 cities in Douglas County, and out of those 12 cities, every single one of them operates in the way that we are proposing for the county government. Douglas County government is the anomaly. It is the only governmental entity from special districts through the cities to most of the nonprofits that does not have an executive officer helping to manage and run the day-to-day operations of the county. And the measure 10-159, as it's known, provides for a manager to be an at-will employee that would be hired by that elected Board of Commissioners and would still be accountable. As you mentioned, one of the issues that's come up is whether or not there would be interest, but even more than that is the conversation about would they be able to be influential. And I don't think that a salary determines somebody's credibility or their capacity to influence in front of a member of Congress or in front of the Oregon State Legislature. Never once in my 35 years in government have I ever heard anybody ask somebody if they have a paycheck in order to qualify them as being able to represent the issues that are important.
But perhaps the larger issue is if they're not getting paid for it. I mean, are you shortening the list of people who might have the time for the job?
Again, I don't think so. There are a lot of people whose employers, as well as self-employed individuals, who have the dedication and the wherewithal to recognize the value of contributing to your community through public service. So I don't see that as being the boundary and barrier that some of the folks are trying to put out there. I will say that there has been a very uncomfortable, embarrassing, and in some levels offensive campaign against this home rule effort. That as I have come to know it, the people, the chief petitioners and the folks who are supporting it are genuinely in love with their community and want to see it move forward in a prosperous and healthy way. And it's been explained to me that this home rule proposal has not been, nor is it, a referendum against the commissioners or against any particular decision that they've made.
Okay.
It is simply a genuine desire to engage and allow the local self-government, which is the cornerstone of democratic government.
We're talking about Douglas County's home rule vote on the November 7th ballot, measure 10-159. Stacey McLaughlin, a home rule supporter. We also have David Schumann from the University of Oregon Law School with us, a former Oregon Court of Appeals Justice. You can join us at 800-838-3760 on the phone. Email is jx@jeffnet.org. David, I understand you've seen some home rule cases in court from several different angles. Can you tell us about some of those?
Yeah, they're mostly, as I said before, they're mostly disputes between state government and city or county government as to who has the power to enact certain kinds of ordinances. Home rule cities, and incidentally, every city in the state of Oregon is a home rule city. Home rule cities and counties will sometimes have power to enact ordinances of matters of county concern. But that doesn't mean that when they do so, they can supersede or somehow trump laws, general economic and social laws passed by the legislature. So the disputes that come to court tend to be between the counties and the state. For the first 150 years of Oregon's history, disputes between cities and the state over powers, really the sort of hot constitutional issues, and they were litigated all the time. What I think I should point out is that once a county becomes a home rule county with the power to enact its own charter, it doesn't lock that charter into place. If the structure of government that's proposed in the charter amendment that's on the ballot in Douglas County turns out in 5 years to be unsatisfactory for some reason or another, or opposition to it grows, the county has the power as a home rule county to enact a different charter. The fact that it's a home rule county doesn't mean that the charter that is first enacted under the home rule amendments is there forever.
Okay, that's good to know. All right, so there's a home rule charter, but not this charter forever. It is now the power in the future to make any charter. Okay.
Yes.
Stacey McLaughlin, I want to come back to you because you talked about the campaign against, and we will be talking to them down the road, certainly. The people opposed to a yes vote paint the pro-home rule group as extreme environmentalists, and you did mention logging in parks as the number two issue on a list that had libraries and health and mental health care on there as well. Is logging or some other environmental issue at the heart of this?
Absolutely not. The Home Rule Charter is bigger than any specific issue that has faced this community. It is about a fundamental change in how we operate as a government entity. Home rule counties have the full power, as Mr. Schuman has said, of self-government. And again, as he just explained, this charter is not set in stone. In fact, the charter calls for a charter committee to actually review it on an ongoing basis. It is something that is to provide for the interest of citizens, and it's just been an unbelievable quagmire of fear-based rhetoric. I could not even begin to tell you why the $100,000 campaign against the Home Rule Charter erupted. It started very early on when the district attorney here, who is tasked under the law at re-evaluating and looking at the charter and making sure that it is presented to the people of the community in an unbiased way, coming back and changing the title of it to say that it changes Douglas County government from constitutional to home rule. Now, that was so wrong, one has to wonder if our district attorney just doesn't understand the law, or if it was engineered.
So, Stacey, we have about a minute left, and I want to get a couple things in here. How soon would this take effect once it passes, if it should?
Well, it takes effect within 60 days.
All right.
And as it was designed, and as it was explained, the county clerk said there would be a concurrent election to fill the seats in the districts that are created under the charter. This charter has faced opposition from the county government from the very beginning. The county council has ruled that there's no opportunity for that, so we would have a need for an appointment to create a quorum in order for the county to continue business.
All right, so vacancies would have to be filled that way. All right, so Measure 10-159, the home rule measure on the Douglas County ballot on November 7th. Stacey McLaughlin is a supporter of this. David Schuman's a professor at the University of Oregon School of Law. Thank you both for joining us on The Exchange.